Today, thank you for each one who's come our way, and thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. You've given us your Word, your revelation of yourself, and we are blessed people to have the written Word of God that we can study and we can learn and we can know exactly what you want us to know from your Word. And God, help us this morning as we study your Word. Speak to our hearts. Help us, I pray, to be changed as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. Thank you for this good report on the Hunters, that their house appraisal looks good, and just help them now to be able to sell that home and move ahead. Pray for Tiffany there in New York City, as that you give the doctors wisdom. Really don't know what's going on, but there in the hospital, we pray you touch her. And think of Jerry Stonecipher as he fell and broke his hip in the hospital now. We pray that you would do a work in his body and give the doctors wisdom as they treat him. Continue to touch Terry and Mary and Tammy and Miss Cash now, as she has to have some radiation. We pray you'd work in her life. Pray for this building project that's going on Thursday. May folks be drawn to you even through this. And pray for Joyce and her folks as they work there, that you'd keep them safe. Lord, do a work in that situation, we pray. Think of Betsy Crawford, Lord, now with recovering from surgery. We pray that you'd give her a good report and that she would be cancer-free. Continue to touch Sandy now in these very important days, that the completion of this whole deal would come out well, and that she would be cancer-free as they do all these tests this week, and that her immune system would kick in properly. And Lord, just really minister there. And bless our time now as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you struggle in your prayer life, and I'm not going to ask you, every one of us would have to raise our hands. None of us have the prayer life that we ought to have. Now, it's interesting to me because the Word of God is very clear about praying. He tells us we should pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. We could go to verse after verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There are multitudes of verses on prayer, and yet every one of us struggles with prayer. Why? Why do we struggle with prayer? What's that? Pride. We don't think we need to pray. Okay. What's that? Time consuming. Distracted living. Well, that's a nice way to say it. We have distracted driving and distracted living. I was sitting out here the other day waiting for people to go by at the corner, and I think there were six or seven cars that went by. Three of them were on cell phones. I thought, no wonder we have accidents all over the place. As I put my cell phone away. No, I was kidding. As I finished my text and drinking my coffee. That's right. What else? We don't think God can handle it. What else? Along that line, we may have sin in our life. Faith. Faith about what? That he will answer. And before he will answer, he must hear. Exactly right. Think about your prayer life. We would all have to say, you know, we have prayed things and God didn't answer. Therefore, we conclude God must not have heard my prayer. Because I know the right solution to that, and it didn't happen, so God must not have heard. Maybe you don't think that way. I mean, we don't see God. We don't see God hearing our prayers. How do we know that God really does? I mean, the simple matter of fact, in my flesh, there are times that I say, you know what? I prayed about that, and God didn't answer the way I wanted to. Why should I pray about this? Y'all looking at me like, well, you're just not spiritual at all. This morning, we're going to continue our look at 2 Samuel 22. And as we do, we're going to see David crying out to God, and he's crying out to God for help. And the thing that struck me as I've meditated on this passage all week long is how God responds and what God does to respond. Okay? Now, let's review a little bit because it's going to take us several weeks to get through this passage. We've already looked at the setting of the psalm. It's toward the end of David's life. It's a time of relaxation. His enemies have been defeated. He's sitting in the palace, and he's thinking back over his life. It's very retrospective. And he's thinking about all the things that God has done for him. And then we saw the preface to that psalm, and we spent our time there last week. And in the preface to the psalm, we saw David giving 8 descriptions of God. What are some of those things that he said? God is my shield. God is my shield. What does a shield do? It protects you from the enemy, from the arrows and the attacks of the enemy. What else did we see? God is a strong tower. There's another one very similar to that. A strong tower, he's a fortress. Those are very similar, aren't they? A safe place we can run to where the enemy can't get us. And I've heard the word rock several times. Something that is stable, something that is secure, something that you can plant your feet on and not be afraid it's going to move. Isn't that something? Think about all the things in life that we trust in that are unstable. My wife's been encouraging me. There's a guy that is a friend of Larry Brubaker's, and he's a financial guy, and I send him some money every month, and so that hopefully when I retire, I won't have to come begging from you and come to your door and say, please give me bread, you know. And she's been listening to these commercials on this gold thing. Hey, is he buying gold? Is he buying gold? We need to buy gold, you know. We said, dear, you know, with 50 cents, how much gold can you buy, you know? Because, you know, when the money falls apart, the system falls apart, then you got gold and you're okay. Well, actually, I'm going to go live with the Magnuses. They're not here today, but they're self-sufficient. And Perkins is that way. These guys got their own farms now. So I've got places I can go live and get all kinds of food. So I'm all right. They all have guns, too, so I may not be able to do that. But look, God is a rock. When you place your faith in God, you're on solid ground. So he is also the horn of my salvation. What's that horn stand for? Strength. He is my strength. Probably one of the verses I quote the most at the hospital is 2 Corinthians 12:9, where it says, my grace is sufficient. What a great promise. And that's speaking about his strength. His strength. So we saw all these things. God is our refuge and strength. Oh, I like the last part of that verse. A very present help in trouble. And we saw finally that he is our Savior. Boy, these are just great, great things. And I want to remind you again today, if you're going through a trial and a difficulty, there is a refuge. There is a high tower. There is a place that you can run to that is safe. Wow. What a great truth. And folks, when you plant your feet on the promises of God, it's not shifting sand. It's not going to suck you in. You're going to stand and you're going to be firm. You're going to be firm. Because of that, David said, I can trust him and I can call on him and he will deliver me. So there's the preface to the psalm. Now, thirdly, David's problem in the psalm. Look at the problem. Here we go, verse 5-7. And he says, when the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress. Now look at these descriptions. When the waves of death compassed me. You know, my wife loves to go. If we could, she would move to the coast. Christians, unsaved people go to the beach. Christians go to the coast, okay? And she would move to the coast, all right? Because she loves to sit there and watch the waves lapping on the seas. Now, if you're thinking that's what David's talking about, you're wrong, okay? These are the pounding waves, the breakers that come in and just demolish everything in their path. For our 20th anniversary, I've been saving air miles for years, and my brother-in-law at the time had a condo in Cabo, and so that was our big deal. For our 20th, we flew to Cabo, and the waves were horrendous. I've never seen such huge waves. And these poor people were out there walking right along, and this lady's taking pictures. Well, you know what happened. The next minute, she's laying in the surf, being sucked out, and if it hadn't been for two or three guys that ran out and grabbed her, not me, I said, see you later, man. I said, no. And they grabbed this lady, and they pulled. And David is saying, look, my troubles were like those waves, and how often, it's you know, those waves just don't come one, and that's it. They pound, and they pound, and they pound. And David said, my life was like these waves of death. They just kept coming and coming and coming and pounding in my life. Have you been there? I'll be honest with you. If I knew a trouble was coming and it was going to last 2 hours, I can say I can handle that. I think I've used this illustration before. It's not my notes, but I actually did exercise last night. I know you can tell. We have an elliptical that we bought several years ago, and it has one of these programs where it starts out real easy, you know, then it gets harder, and then, hallelujah, it gets easy, and then it gets harder, and it gets like hard for like 5 minutes. And about the third minute, I'm thinking, man, I'm dying. I am dying. But you know what keeps me going? I know that in 2 minutes, it's going to be easy again. See? But what if you didn't have that in your life? I can handle that. If I got on there for 30 minutes and it was at 5 the whole time, and I had to say 28 more minutes of this, there ain't no way. But you know what? Some people's lives are like that. They're at 5 all the time. It never goes back down to 2 and gives them a respite. And it's pounding, and it's pounding, and it's pounding. And that's what David said what his life was like. Look at that. In verse 5, the waves of death compassed me. The floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. Again, if you have one enemy, you say, well, I can handle that. But what if you got a flood of enemies? And what does the flood do? It drowns you. Have you ever been there in your life? Where the water was here, and you're just, there's just no hope. And he goes on in verse 6, he said, the sorrows of death, he said, these sorrows, they compass me about. They're all around him. There's no escape. And you think of David's life and the ungodly men that came after him. I mean, Saul chased him the majority of his life, you know, for many years. And then he got that problem taken care of. Then he had all the Philistines and other enemies to take care of. And he got that taken care of. Then he had his own son. And he got that taken care of. Then he had a guy named Sheba. And people came after him and after him and after him. And then he says, look, he said, the sorrows of hell compass me about. I like what Spurgeon said. This guy can weave the words, man. He says, a cordon of devils hemmed in the hunted man of God. Every way of escape was closed up. What a description. And then he says, the snares of death prevented me. The snares, he was wrapped up, he was tied up in these things. And that word prevented, they overwhelmed him. There was no escape. And we've been studying David's life for a long time. And we know of these occasions, folks. What do you do when that's going on in your life? Some of you have asked about my dad. My dad's a man of God. He loves the Lord. But I'll just be honest with you. This is the hardest thing he's ever gone through in his life. His companion for 63 years has gone to heaven. And I'll call him one day and he's doing fine. The next day why did we take her to the wrong hospital? And why did this happen? And it's just overwhelming. What do you do? What do you do? Well, what did David do? He went to his local psychiatrist and said, I need drugs. Right? gave up and he quit. What did he do? Well, look in verse 7. In my distress, and I want to stop just for a minute because that's a really neat word. You know what that word means? Literally, it's a tight place. I don't know about you, but I'm a little claustrophobic. This last week, we took the seniors to Charleston and went to see the Yorktown, and there's a submarine, an old submarine there too. So we went down the submarine, and I'll just be real honest with you. I'm a seaman, but if I'd been in the Navy, I would not have been in a submarine. I mean, this was bad enough with two hatches that were wide open, and it was docked right there. And I thought, boy, what if this bad boy was down a mile or so in the water, you know, and you could not get out? I would be crazy. They would have to give me medication, undoubtedly. But you know what? He's saying, you know what? In my tight place, have you ever been there in your life where you were just hemmed in, and you looked to the right, and there was no way out? And you looked to the left and there was no way out. And you looked up and there was no way out. I mean, and you were just pressured in there. I mean, just no way. That's what David is doing, folks. That's the kind of thing he went through. And look what he did in verse 7. Here it is. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And I cried to my God. Now, if we could learn to do this, folks, think how our lives would change. We are allowing stress and worry to kill us. And we don't have to. We, in our distress, folks, we can call upon the Lord and we can cry out to God. That's what God asks us to do. You say, oh, but Gary, if you knew the burden I was carrying. So what you're saying is God is not enough. So you're saying really God can't help you. So why call out to him? My folks, when the waves are beating on you and the floods of the enemy are coming against you, when you don't see any way out, when you're in a tight place, and humanly speaking, there is no answer, hallelujah, cry out to the Lord. And you say, well, Gary, I don't know how to pray. Well, hallelujah, go to him and just tell him what's on your heart. I think sometimes we think we have to... And thou, the mighty God of all the universe, thou knowest that I am but a wretch, and I am in this horrendous situation. No, say, Lord, I'm in trouble. I am going down, and I don't know what to do, and I don't have the strength to do if I knew what to do. God, I need your help. That is what God wants us to do. Call unto me. Cry unto me. You say, I have a family situation and I don't know the answer. Cry unto the Lord.
And he does answer. I want to say this, Gary. He does answer because come Friday was my end. And God did say, He stopped him.
Amen.
A flat tire, his computer went out of his car.
Amen. Amen. Can I tell you the circumstance? Is that all right?
You go ahead.
Kim has been, her husband filed for divorce year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago. And I went on July 8th for mediation, and I have prayed, and God gave me Matthew 7:7, and I have held firm to it, and he led me by Exodus 14:14. He told me to be still, and he led me back to this church.
Amen. Amen. No, you're preaching, sister. Come on. Now, yesterday, her lawyer called her this week and said if they don't do something because of inactivity in the case, the judge is going to throw it out. And God worked a miracle in this situation. I know it's not over, but hallelujah, it's moving in the right direction. Amen. Amen. Amen.
He's had a lesson to learn, and we ain't learned it.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else, Gary, and I'm sorry I'm giving it to you.
You're doing fine.
You, on Easter Sunday, Jody let us have just testimony. There was a little girl that testified that she had some medical things, that she wanted her family to get over her and pray over her. That's the kind of family I want.
Amen.
And I was glad.
Amen.
And I have prayed and I have stayed on my face. I haven't had a job in 4 months. But God has taken care of me. But I know that that little girl has moved me so much because this is what I want in my life. And I know God is working it out because Friday he told me, trust him and it will come to pass. Psalms 37 has been my Psalms. And God, I know he's moving.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Well, that leads us right in the next point. Thank you. I couldn't have paid you to do much better than that. God's powerful provision. Look back in verse 7. And he said, I called upon the Lord, I cried to God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his prayers. Look at God's response, folks. Now, to be honest with you, when I pray, what do I want God to do? I want God to hear. And I want God to work. And folks, the simple matter of fact is, that's what David wanted. He didn't say, you know what, God's so busy, I don't think I should pray to him. He didn't say, you know what, God's way up in heaven, I can't see him, I can't feel him, there's no sense praying to him. He didn't say, you know what, God is so holy and I'm so sinful, there's no sense praying to him. He said, you know what, all these people in the world are calling to God, he's too busy, he didn't have time for me. He called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer. Listen to these verses, Psalm 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Ready? And his ears are open to their cry. You know, there's some people you can talk to, and the simple matter of fact is, they're not listening. And all the women said, you're right, amen, that's my husband. But I want you to know, folks, though you may not feel it, though you may not see it, though you may not see the response that you want to see, God hears your prayer. God's ear is open to the cry of the righteous. Now, this is amazing. And we're going to try to get through verse 16 here. And I'm going to read them first. But I want you to see David prayed, and I want you to see what God did. Okay? All right? Don't just run through this passage. All right? Here we go. David prayed, verse 8, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He moved the heavens also, and he came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters, and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were clouds of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightnings, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. Now, I was going to take a lot of time and go through every one of those phrases. I don't think I'm going to at this point, but I want you to see. Do you see what happened? Here it is, folks. God is willing to move heaven and earth to answer your prayer. David said, when I prayed the most stable thing, which is this world, it shook. By the way, can you think of two other guys that happened to in the New Testament? Paul and Silas, they prayed a little bit and praised God a little bit, and God said, okay, I'm just going to shake this prison a little bit, and all the bars, or all the doors flew open and all the chains fell off. That was a direct answer to prayer, folks. Now think about that. The God who created it all, the God who holds it all together, can shake it if he wants to. Now why did he shake it? Because somebody prayed. said he spoke and there were great thunders and there was lightning and all of these things, and all these things happened, and God moved against his enemies, and it was like smoke and wrath and fire and lightning and thunder, and all these things happened. Why? Because David prayed. Now, I've been thinking about this all week. God did all those things because one man prayed. Now, what does that tell you? The God who has all power, the God who can do anything, is waiting for your call. You say, but wait a minute, Gary, you don't know my situation. I doubt if it was as bad as David's. I've had a few enemies in my life, but none that wanted to kill me, as far as I know, you know. Maybe they just didn't have opportunity, but as far as I know, they didn't want to. David had trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. And he said, as I look back over my life, he said, there have been times I've called out to the Lord. And he said, I have seen God work in miraculous ways, even changing things about the earth. And I know some of this is probably symbolic. But he's saying, look, God did great things. Let me read one thing. It says, so tremendous was the shock of God's assault in arms that the order of nature was changed, and the bottoms of the rivers and seas were laid bare. And just a blast from God's nostrils did that. I read this passage, folks, and I think, wow, here is a man who prayed and God moved miraculously. And the simple matter of fact is, that's what God wants to do for you. God wants to move heaven and earth. And what a great illustration that Kim just gave us in her husband's on the way to the lawyer to do this paperwork Friday, and his car breaks down and has all kinds of problems and he has to go back to work. What a coincidence. Now, I think I'm going to stop right here. I would encourage you to read the next passage. Because David's going to go on. He's going to give us the reason that God did this. Why God answered him. And it's very interesting. And I want to see how you respond. See if you respond the same way I did. And we'll talk about it next week. But I want to encourage you again today to believe God. It's interesting, and again, I'm going to go back to Kim here, but when she was testifying, did you notice that she kept talking about some things over and over? What were they? Scripture. During this whole time, her reliance has been upon Scripture. That has been her foundation. How did she have, now really, again, this is an impossible situation. How did she have the faith to pray? Where did she get it? From the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Okay? You say, Gary, I don't have the faith to pray like that. Well, then get in the Word of God. Ask God to give you a promise that you can camp out on, that you can anchor your soul to, and claim the promises of God, and beg God to do something. You say, well, wait a minute, I've prayed before, and it didn't happen. God must not have heard me. That's the wrong conclusion. If God doesn't hear your prayer, then God is a liar. I mean, folks, his eyes are running to and fro. He is listening for people who will swallow their pride and will, by faith, say, Lord, I am done. I can't do it. Help. By the way, isn't that what you, when your kids were small and they were doing a task and you were just watching them and they couldn't do it and they were fiddling around and they were just bombing out and you were just waiting for them to say, hey, Dad. And as soon as they called your name, you jumped in and you helped them out. Maybe that's how God is in heaven. And he's watching us. We're just fiddling around down here, messing around and making a mess of things. And he's just waiting for us to say, hey, Dad, I really need some help. Amen. Amen. Let's read again verse 7, and we're going to pray and close. This needs to be our personal testimony. This needs to be your personal testimony, okay? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. In my distress, in my tight place, I called upon the Lord. I cried to the Lord. That's what he wants us to do, folks. That's what he wants us to do. And if you'll begin to do that, claim the promises of God, you can see God do some miraculous things in your life. You really can. You really can. All right? All right. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Kim's life. Thank you for this wonderful illustration, this modern day, right now illustration of this great passage. And Lord, I'm still amazed that someone like me could pray and move the hand of God in such a mighty way. There are people here today that have, they're in a tight place. The waves are crashing upon them. The flood is overwhelming them. And God, I pray that you would help them in simple faith to turn and cry out to the rock. God, help them to run to the refuge, to the high tower, that through their faith and trust and prayer that you would deliver them in a miraculous way. And may in the coming days we hear many more testimonies like the one we've heard this morning, because we simply prayed and you worked in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.